The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you in. Welcome to Saturday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, weekend edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning, a lot to get to today. As we'll catch up and hear the rewind with Amir Abdullah. His thoughts on
I'm glad you chose him, by the way. Because, you know, we have our options from all the interviews you do all week.
Right.
We have options. We have options. And we had a little text exchange this morning.
Kranak, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you. We can't go with Mario Goodrich.
We totally can go with Mario Goodrich.
But we're not going to.
But I will let you listen to that. That was more of a me thing than anything. But
you're going
to
punt that one.
Well, you can just go to the HailVarsity.com site and go to the podcast section and listen to Mario. Mario is
good kid, right? But
great kid.
He's rolling with his boys, right?
Great kid, tremendous athlete, and a guy that's going to be a potential difference maker for Nebraska in their secondary in future years. Let's heap all the pressure on. And he was just pretty distracted during the interview. And doing this long enough that the 8 minutes seemed like 80 hours. And that was my bad. I should have just punted and rescheduled. But
it's not your bad. It's
sure,
not your bad. You have an interview scheduled with the guy. You don't. And he's probably what, with his AAU team.
Yeah, he's out in west LA. In California traveling. It was just loud, and it was just tough to.
People swearing in the background. You had to start it over.
Yeah. Because we're supposed to have him Wednesday, and it didn't work out. He had some family obligations, which I totally get. So. Versus rolling the dice and say, let's grab him live, which we always try and do. Let's knock this thing out ahead of time so we know we got it. Because I know Nebraska fans want to hear from him, right?
Well, they should.
And there you have it. I guess the standard of interviews, the bar is Buki.
Well,
guy's awesome, and you know, Mario's a good dude, and he's pretty excited, and you know, just to paraphrase it, the older brother uncle type relationship with Dante Williams is the deal maker,
and paying off.
That's what it is, and good for Coach Dante landing another big time recruit. Good for Nebraska. Kind of getting that secondary in order for 2018. And you can join us this morning on Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Welcome to Tap the Line, brought to you by Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. So Amir Abdullah, 15 minutes away, our conversation with him. Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine is in 1 hour. And Gary Sharp will join us. We will dive into Stanley Morgan Jr., news that came out with him here in a moment. We'll get some thoughts on Husker baseball as the show progresses. And you can also catch us not only ESPN 1480, but also the ESPN 1480 app. Take us with holiday weekend. Remember those who have served, please do that. And Mark, let's get into the news that broke later in the day yesterday. We were fortunate enough to have a big-time friend of the show, Vince Powers, prominent attorney in the state of Nebraska, prominent attorney in Lincoln. And Vince's reaction to this was, it's a non-story. It's a misdemeanor. It's legal in other states. And, I mean, you can read the quotes. Brandon Vogel put that up on HailVarsity.com, but I wanted to kind of dive into this with you, and I look at this 2017 season, and this week specifically, as we're into late May, and we're waiting for college football to start up, 98 days till kickoff, there are lists there are just different stories out there, right? It's the off season, even though there is no off season, and you've had, you know, a Feinbaum host question whether Nebraska can ever be great again. That was interesting this week. You have Stuart Mandel discuss his college football hierarchy of kings of college football, Nebraska, a line through their name. So this week, from a national perception standpoint, a lot of doubt about where Nebraska is at as a program. Earlier in the week, you had questions about just was a recruit in your 2018 class born the last time you won a conference or a national championship? And it's a fair question for a lot of programs. And just in the last 15 years of college football, you've had ebbs and flows of teams kind of re-entering the arena of excellence and teams exiting. And Nebraska's been pretty sturdy for 15 years, but they've not been what they were 20 years ago. Alabama is a different shell of themselves now, once Saban got there, compared to what they were when they were searching for that next great head coach. Florida's been kind of up and down. Really, it's been Ohio State and Oklahoma that have sustained things, and a reason you have those two programs being as dominant as they have been and winning conference championships and going to BCSs and going to college football playoff games is because of the talent level and depth they have. And you look at a team like Nebraska trying to crawl its way back, win the West, get into a Big Ten championship game again, and do bigger and better things. The excitement level for this year with all the unknowns for Nebraska football is the idea that with a quarterback that fits an offense and some of the stars that are returning, the things could be okay, especially on the offensive end. And one of those guys was Stanley Morgan Jr. It is Stanley Morgan Jr. that you get excited about. I think of just the impact he has had as a kid that was a freshman, played as a freshman, part of that 15 recruiting class, but didn't waver, stayed with Nebraska despite the coaching change. And he burst on the scene early against Miami on the road. He helped
despite being on the pot.
Right. I don't know his history. I don't know his.
He overcame it.
I don't know his.
He overcame his pot.
His tendencies. I just know that this story is out there. He'll have some legal stuff to deal with. And the bigger question now is what's next when it comes to discipline internally with the university, with Coach Riley, with his teammates. And that's where I need to go with this, is this action decision, and I'm not throwing him out the door. I just know that it's one more thing that gets in the way of winning.
Yeah, well, okay. I can follow that, but so he's let's set the record straight. So he's arrested on felony charges because he has 21 grams of marijuana in Volusia County, Florida, which that's like Daytona Beach,
right?
Ormond Beach, that whole area, just kind of east, northeast of Orlando. So, and he's got Antonio Reed in the car with him. Mm-hmm. So it's in that particular county, over 20 grams is a felony. In a lot of places, the cutoff is an ounce, which is 28 grams. But Vince Powers was saying non-story because he's not going to be actually prosecuted with a felony charge, right?
It's going to be a misdemeanor. It is a misdemeanor now.
It's going to be a misdemeanor, like $100 ticket, pretty much, right?
Yes.
And we're worried about what?
I
don't know. When you look at like the serious problems that are out there, You look at like the Baylor problems.
There's apples and there's oranges, and I totally get it. But my question here is, the vibe I get is, well, just give him a game because you need him. And I think Nebraska fans,
I don't even think it's because you need him. I think it's just because it's such a look. Marijuana is legal. Like fully legal. You can order it on an app and have it delivered to your house. in like California.
You hear.
In Colorado, in Oregon. And I'm just saying, it's like, stop. Like, look, if this guy had like 10 pounds and he was selling on the corner, different story. Different story. But I mean, come on. How many millions, tens of hundreds of millions of people smoke pot every now and then? I just never get concerned about it. And it's not because he just plays for Nebraska and I'm hoping Nebraska does well, and because he's a starting receiver. And I mean, I don't care if this is the third string offensive guard at Duke. It's just like, who cares? Like, it's not that big a deal. Now, selling, different story.
Okay.
Right, like driving around.
Here's what you got to ask yourself.
Of weed and you got a Glock in your car.
Sure.
Different story.
Here's the question though. Those decision makers who hand out punishment between the NCAA, the Big Ten, and then the school itself probably have a different take, I'm assuming, on marijuana, because it isn't allowed, nor is it cool. With the NCAA, with the drug testing, the school itself. I mean, there are still rules in place, whether you agree with them or not, that you broke if you
totally.
Used.
But think about this: Volusia County is not even enforcing their own law. That tells you how much they even care about it. Their own law is if it's plus 20 grams, which this was, it's a felony, and they're not even going to consider charging him with a felony. So they don't even take their own laws seriously in this regard. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're just like, okay, it's not that big a deal. It's $100 and it's all, you know what? They're not concerned about it at all.
But the purchase,
and it's a law on the books.
The purchase and use of pot, though, does that bother you as a Nebraska fan? And I know you just laid out that millions of people do it and it's legal in different areas.
It's the least of anybody's concerns. That's what I'm saying. Like, sure, it's against the law. So is jaywalking. Shouldn't do that. How many people do that? It's better, in my mind, than drinking and driving, which that gets done sometimes too, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And people don't get kicked off. Like, seriously, what's worse? A guy that's caught with a little bit of weed or somebody that's drinking and driving? Like, on it, like, what's worse?
They're both not cool.
They're both not cool, but what's worse? It's pretty clear what the answer is, right? Like, pretty obvious what's worse. And folks like that, folks that get a DUI or DWI, they serve a one-game suspension and they're back.
That's how it's worked.
Or they keep their job as an assistant coach, right?
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, when you compare those two, It's just a no brainer. I don't know. I understand why there's stories because there is, quote, a law about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they're the most ridiculous laws. They're not even enforced. They're not even enforced, like, at all. So it's, you know, it's such a non-factor, non-story. I don't see Stanley Morgan any differently than I saw him before. You know, like, just like, okay, whatever. How many, you know. Like, if you were to do some sort of, like, give college football programs and all their players, like, a truth serum,
mm-hmm.
see how many of them do that.
No, I think it is vast.
50%.
I think it's extremely vast in college football. And if you're smart about it, you can do it to medicate in the NFL. And a lot of guys do it in the NFL.
And in the NBA, and in the business world, mm-hmm. and in education, and in high school. And, right, like, lawyers, doctors, like, just, you know, construction workers. It's everywhere. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not a thing. It's not crack. You know, the dude isn't like taking heroin here. He's not on the smack. He's not doing meth. Like, big difference. Huge difference. I don't know.
So
suspend them for a game, whatever. But
the way you're talking here, I mean, would you have a problem with no suspension?
No, I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I really wouldn't. I, you know, make them run some extra laps or something. Let them know, hey, man, you're going to be drug tested a little more often. And if you get busted with that, Well, then you start getting on the road to getting kicked out. Better be careful, right?
Yeah.
Put a scare into him. Sure. If he gets suspended a game, cool. If you're failing, take the Randy Gregory situation.
Right.
That's when it gets ridiculous. Right. That's when it's like, okay, he's failed how many drug tests now? Rumors that he failed like 3 or 4 while he was at Nebraska. And then I think like his 8th now since he's left Nebraska. That's ridiculous. All right. So at some point it's like, okay, dude, like you just don't get it. You know, but Stanley Morgan, whatever. If put him on one of those things, be like, all right, if you fail a test, it means 2 games. If you fail 2 tests, it means 4 games. Fail 3 tests, you're out.
Well, I'm just interested to see how it's handled moving forward. From a production standpoint, you got to have, and this isn't all about winning, but that's a major piece of this. He is a guy that I have visions of maybe 1,000-yard season.
Yeah.
I have visions of how much he cares. I mean, every time he's asked to go block the edge, crushes it. You look at most of his catches last year, went for first downs. And what's burned into my mind is just his passion and frustration at the end of the Iowa game last year.
Yeah.
I mean, just how upset he was that it was going the way it was, and he was still fighting like hell towards the end. He at least got Nebraska off that 3-point schneid. I mean, he was the guy who got in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as a guy on the team, people love his talent, love his work ethic, and I think they respect the heck out of him.
All these things that marijuana is supposed to work against, right? He should be fat and lazy and eating Cheetos. No, he's in phenomenal shape. One of the hardest workers on the team, completely dependable. It's not a performance enhancer that he's on. He's not all jacked up on roids.
I'm wondering how Nebraska handles this moving forward. And the athletic department and Gotrelli gathering facts mode on this.
Yeah.
But it is something that you just don't need from a distraction and a decision-making standpoint. And that's the decision to imbibe in that is someone's personal business, but just kind of the sequence of when they were stopped and the search and all of that. I mean, that's...
And then according to the report, too, he was, like, super polite and cooperative. Sure. He wasn't,
Which is awesome.
Like, running from the cops or anything. You know what I'm saying? It's such a non-issue. And then he takes up for it with his teammate in the car, too. Antonio Reed's in the car, and he's just like, hey, no, this is all me.
Yeah,
this is all me. Look, good learning moment. Make him run some extra laps. Suspend him a game. Whatever. But any sort of thoughts of, his status with the team is in jeopardy or something? No, no.
Well, and that is shifted from 5 years ago to 10 from 5 or 10 years ago. You have something like this, even if it's pled down and deemed a misdemeanor, and it turns into a $100 ticket. The stigma of it in this state maybe isn't as progressive as other areas because it technically still is illegal in the state of Nebraska.
I wonder, I don't want to get into the, I guess we already sort of have, get into the tired, should marijuana be legal debate.
No, I don't care to do that this weekend either.
but it's just like, I don't know. I just, of all the things in the world to worry about, a kid smoking some pot is like a concern. It's just, stop. Stop. It's not, it affects pretty much nobody. Pretty much nobody is adversely affected by this outside of maybe some weird kind of outdated, poorly thought out rules and laws. It's just,
that's not true. What has happened has happened, and there's a legal process still to come, But then there's also a team process still to come, and he's a guy you got to have in Eugene second week of the season.
Totally.
And this decision to purchase while on vacation, whether you agree with his right to do so or not, could affect the Nebraska football season. If some of these punishments are out of the hands directly of the head coach, the position coach, the athletic director, from a university standpoint. And that's a reality.
A misdemeanor, not on campus, in the off season. I mean, seriously, what are they going to have a trial? You know?
You and I both know there is little sense in consistency with the NCAA.
Yeah. The NCAA, I don't think, is going to get involved at all. I don't think they have anything to do with it. The guy, it's a misdemeanor ticket. It's a misdemeanor in the off season. One game suspension tops, if that. I don't even think it needs to get that. You know, but whatever. If he's suspended for like two games, that would be crazy. And by the way, how is this supposed to work in places like Colorado? Like, think about the irony there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, hey, they need Stanley Morton. They need him at Oregon.
Well, we've talked to Leach before, and it's legal in Washington State, but his policy is a no-use policy while you're on the football team.
But think about that, right? Like, think about the irony there. If you lose him for the Oregon game, a state in which it is entirely legal. I mean, what? It's just, you know, let's worry about real stuff. Right. Let's worry about the stuff that Brenda Tracy is bringing.
Yes.
Bringing to light. Let's worry about what that cesspool at Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's worry about real stuff. This isn't real. This is like made up. I don't know. It's not nearly on the same level as so many other things. Let's worry about paying players. Let's worry about recruiting violations in the South.
Yeah.
You know,
There's
worry about real
laundry
issues.
List
this
of
is not a real issue.
Things to focus on. Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. A reminder that 7 out of 10, too many, that's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed in Nebraska last year. Had they been using their seatbelts, had a minimum 69 to be alive today. In order to save more lives, over 60 law enforcement agencies across the state on the lookout for seatbelt violations this month. Part of National Click It or Ticket campaign, over 6,000 hours of additional traffic enforcement operations. We'll be writing tickets for seatbelt and child restraint violations. So please, Click It or Ticket, a message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Let's get caught up with Amir Abdullah. He's part of the Rewind next on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. With you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Team Jack Foundation, the golf outing fundraiser coming up at Cory Oaks on June 24th. One of the best at Nebraska, now in Detroit. Amir Abdullah joins us. Amir, what's shaking? How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Not a whole lot going on in my world right now.
Well, you got OTA starting up, and that's exciting. We'll spend a few minutes on that in a moment, but what a first and foremost focus on Team Jack and this fundraiser coming up in June, funding research for pediatric brain cancer, Amir. And you know what? You've been so great with your time. You and a lot of your Nebraska teammates with Jack Hoffman, the Hoffman family. Tell me why it's so important to you, and you and many of your teammates continue to give back to it.
Terminal brain cancer is the number one child killer in America. And a lot of people who are affected by it, they don't have the proper funding to get the proper support, medical support that they need, you know, throughout the time. So anything we can do as an alumni chapter in Nebraska to help aid such an underfunded situation such as pediatric brain cancer, we're going to do everything we can to do so. I'm really proud of the Nebraska alumni chapters for continuing their efforts with the Hoffman family, which has now reached so many other families across the country who are struggling with this disease.
Amir, what's that mean to you to be able to to give back not only to the Hoffman family, but also to other families and kids who, you know, I mean, guys like you are their heroes. They love supporting and watching you. You give them a ton of joy. I mean, how do you process that aspect of this? And the platform you're raising awareness for is so important.
For me, that's always been of the utmost importance. Me being in the position I'm in, a lot of the eyes are on me a lot of time. And most of the time, it's because of what I do on the football field. It's not because of what I do off the field. And, you know, having mentors like Rex Burkhead, Will Compton, guys who are part of the alumni chapter corps, on the board as well as the Team Jack Foundation partnering, it's always been important to us just because we understand that as athletes, we're much more than just guys who can, you know, run the ball fast, guys who are explosive players. We're people who can potentially be leaders in our community. And it is what it is. In America, sports kind of dominate what, you know, the popularity in this country, what people are watching. So knowing that so many eyes on us at all times, anything we can do to also show that, hey, sports are important, but there's a lot of personal issues people are going on in people's lives that we're concerned with as well, will help, you know, broaden the spectrum for people who don't really understand pediatric brain cancer or any terminal cancer for that matter.
Team Jack Foundation, teamjackfoundation.org is where you can log on, sign up, get a foursome together for the inaugural Team Jack Foundation golf outing, the fundraiser. Cory Oaks is an amazing golf course. It may not be kind to you, but it'll be fun. And that is June 24th. Amir, how are you with the sticks? I got to ask.
You know, I am probably one of the worst you have ever seen to swing a golf club. I'm not very good. A lot of my teammates golf a lot. Like Golden Tate, he's an outstanding golfer. From my understanding, I think Matthew Stafford's actually pretty good as well. So I need to get better. But right now, I would say bottom five on the team in golfing. Probably bottom five.
So if there is a strength, is it teeing off? Is it approach shot? Is it putting? What is it?
It's definitely my putting. Putting. I've always been good at putt. And I've been on the green a little bit, and I've putted on the green a little bit. And I have a good eye for the trajectory of different greens, how I need to play it. So I do well with that, but it's really just my driving that's really bad, really inconsistent. I have days where I'm driving, and it's just a struggle just to hit the ball, you know? So for me, it's a process for me, but hopefully, you know, at the event, June 24th, like you said, hopefully I can have one of my better days.
So you're telling me there's going to be a lot of donations by Amir Abdullah for the mulligan part of things.
There will be a lot of mulligans, so my pockets will be empty at the end of the day.
That is awesome. Hashtag Go Gray in May. You can check that out on social media. Cancer Awareness, Team Jack Foundation, golf outing, June 24th. Amir Abdullah going to be there. Of course, Spencer Long, Jeremiah Searles, Will Compton, and it is funding research for pediatric brain cancer. Amir, I want to talk a little bit about your career, and we get to catch up maybe a couple of times a year, and it's always great to chat with you. And right now you have an opportunity to get kind of going again with Detroit. OTAs are going on, and I want to just touch base with you how you're feeling, how things are going. You're back now after being out with injury. How's your outlook right now?
Like you said, I'm back. I'm full go. I'm practicing. So first and foremost, I want to thank God for that. You know, I've never been in a situation where I've missed so much time or any time ever. I've never missed a game before until this season. And finally being in that situation put a lot of things in perspective for me as far as what's important, you know, when it comes to life and when it comes to football. And what I can say about the game of football is it has this unique ability to give you a lot in life, but can also take a lot away from you in life. And I learned that being hurt, sitting out, I learned a lot about what it means to be a better player mentally. You know, I've always kind of had an advantage with athletic ability playing this game over some guys, but I had to force myself to become better, like more cognitive as a player. Because now coming back, obviously I'm back, but you know, I still got a knock off on my rust. I'm still not 100% as far as like trusting, you know, trusting myself. That'll come with time. So of course, you know, when you don't play football for a year, you kinda got a knock off on the rust. So what helps me out right now is just understanding my job and my assignment on every play. Being more of a student of the game is what my focus and my direction this spring has been. So I've seen a lot of growth mentally with me. I understand the offense more. I can tell you now exactly what every receiver has on every route, what their depths are, what their routes change to, you know, coverage. And those are things that I didn't really understand. And I'm not really asked to, but I want to know now because it will help me out as a running back if I know this guy is running a hook route and I have a shoot pattern. I know how fast I need to get out there to uncover that hook route, pin it on, you know, split on that certain play. Details like that that aren't really covered in everyday football talk, I've definitely got a lot better at. I think it's going to make me a lot better player. And obviously, you never want to get injured, but that's one positive I can say coming back from injury is that I'm a lot better mentally. Not only knowing the playbook, but also toughness, because I've been through hard times. You know, that's another thing. I've really been through, before this injury, I hadn't really been through much adversity as far as injury. I've never had surgery before until the year 2016. I never had surgery before. So coming back from surgery where I had to pretty much get my strength back and pretty much learn all my, you know, my cutting again, my running again, that's hard to do. You know, a lot of people understand that. A lot of fans, a lot of guys may not ever play football. They don't understand. That's a tough challenge, man, because it's one thing to heal, you know, to surgically get something repaired and then let the surgery heal itself. But the next level is actually going back out there and reteaching yourself how to walk, reteaching yourself how to run, reteaching yourself how to cut at certain angles, you know. And that's tougher than what a lot of people think, and a lot of people don't understand that. So going through all that, you have to be mentally tough because you have good days, you have bad days. And, you know, once you start stacking good day on top of good day, you start to understand that at this point, it's nothing that this game could throw at me that I won't be prepared for because I've been through the fire.
Amir Abdul, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Amir Guapo on Twitter. Amir, you just laid out the maturity side of what makes guys last in the league. When you were out for the 8 months, who did you lean on? Who helped you get through it? Because, again, you said it's something you'd never been through. You've been through adversity, but this is like the first time in your career you've had something of this magnitude where the game was taken away.
Yeah. First and foremost, I would probably say my family, really. Another thing was, you know, when you're on IR, a lot of times you're away from the team. Like, for me, I was still in Detroit, but I wasn't really in the meetings like that because most of my time went to rehab and, you know, doing everything I needed to do to heal my, you know, my injury. So I was away from the team, so I wasn't really – for a while, you kind of go into a depressed state because you don't feel like you're really a part of the team anymore. So that was tough. So I didn't have my teammates to necessarily lean on. Of course, they'd send, like, encouraging texts here and there, but my family was really big for me. You know, I come from a big family, 6 sisters, 2 brothers, and it wasn't a day that pretty much went by that someone wasn't calling me. You know, my dad, I talked to him almost every other day. My mom was calling me almost every other day. My brother was also my agent as well, Muhammad. He was calling me all the time, just picking my spirits up, letting me know I was going to get through this. And one guy in particular who I would say helped me out the most through this process is my old roommate, Josh Mitchell.
Really?
He's a guy, yeah, he's a guy who he's been through, he had a couple of injuries. He had an injury when he was in camp with the Colts, where he tore his quad muscle or something like that. So he had been through a surgery before, and he knew I had never missed time before, and I'm very critical on myself sometimes. So, you know, missing so much time, I felt like I was letting my team down in some instances, even though I can't control the injury side of it. You know, what happens is all under God's control. But Josh was there for me Anytime I needed him, you know, some days I felt better than others, and just to have that guy to call on when I wasn't feeling so good, who could just reassure me that everything was going to be okay. You're going to get through it, man. You're going to come back and you're going to kill the league, you know. And that's something that he would always tell me. You're going to come back and you're going to kill the league. And I began to believe it, you know, and that's something that I've been really speaking into existence, and it's all from him, you know, because I never thought I would get to the point where I didn't believe in myself after an injury. But, you know, you have days like that. And for Josh to step up and understand that that's what I was going to go through, because he had been through it before, I really appreciate it, because now I'm light years ahead of where I ever thought I would be. You know, it's only May, and I'm already back practicing and well ahead of schedule for what, you know, what kind of injury I had. You know, I tore my Liz Frank in my foot. You know, you see some guys, that could be career-ending for some guys, yep. You know. And for me, man, I'm back running in under 10 months. You know, it'll be 8 months out of my surgery. Next week, for me to be out there running, cutting full speed, not even thinking about my injury anymore, and I still got 3 months before the season starts, man, I'm blessed. You know, I'm blessed. So it's a good feeling, and I know it's one thing to physically rehab, but you have to mentally rehab through that process too. And to have Josh there to help me mentally rehab myself into a positive state of talking myself and back into health was really important. So, you know, I definitely tip my hat to Josh Mitchell, and I appreciate him, you know.
Important to have friends like that, Amir Abdullah back and ready to take over. And it's great to hear you in a very positive state like this, Amir, when it comes to your health, your outlook, the mental approach, and then the physical recovery. And you can join Amir and a lot of the Huskers Team Jack Foundation inaugural golf tournament fundraiser June 24th at Cory Oaks, and Amir's tee shot will be perfected by then. It sounds like Amir,
I'm working endlessly.
Well played on that. Lastly, Amir, I want to ask you about this. I'm a big Jimi Hendrix guy. I know you're huge into Jimi Hendrix. I had a poster in high school in my room of when Jimmy set the guitar on fire, and my mom and dad had walked into my room and kind of had a t-shirt too, and they just kind of gave me one of those little side looks like, what's going on here? It's like, Hendrix rocks. He's awesome. And what got you into Jimmy? I've always wanted to ask.
I feel like he's one of the greatest philosophers without even trying to be a philosopher.
Okay.
His outlook on life, outlook on adversity, outlook on people who you trusted, who, you know, did you wrong, and the outlook on if you made a mistake by someone was perfect, man. He always had something, some rhyme or reason to help you understand that, you know, for one, life goes on, you know what I'm saying? And that's something I try to stress to a lot of guys on our team, because it is a stressful business, but if you're continually just harping on the mistakes, or you're harping on how you may feel like you were mistreated in a situation, it's not going to help your future outlook. You know, something I always tell people now in a lot of camps that I run is you can't focus on the will be. And this was actually in a book that, you know, I read about Jimi Hendrix's life, about him not focusing on the future, always focusing on the now and the present. And I feel like you can't always focus on the will be, because when you're always focusing on the will be, you can't focus on the now. You can't focus on what's going on now. And the now is actually what shapes the will be. So why focus on the will be when the now is what is the what the will be will be? You know what I'm saying? I know it's a lot of words and a lot of will be, but if that's something that's really important for me is, and that's in every phase of life, focus on one day at a time. On the field, focus on one play at a time, one rep at a time, one step at a time. And eventually the end result will be what you wanted to, you know, how you want it to turn out. And that all is a product of you, you know, trusting the process of the present. And that's a philosophy that, you know, Jimmy lived by. And I just thought he was a remarkable philosopher.
That's good stuff. He could play guitar, too. I love it.
Yeah. He was probably the most underrated guitarist ever.
He's the best, man. And yeah. Amir, we will see you June 24th. And thanks to you for what you're doing with Team Jack and the Team Jack Foundation. And keep up the great work, and best to you as OTAs continue with Detroit.
All right. Appreciate that, Chris. Take care.
To rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Well, this first hour flew by. Spent a lot of time segment one hitting on Stanley Morgan Jr. We didn't spend a lot of time on Antonio Reed, but Good thoughts. First half hour of the program, Amir Abdullah. Our rewind segment with Amir.
He's always good to hear.
He's great to catch up with. And I love what he's doing with Team Jack, but he is a guy that was pretty honest about just how difficult last year was for him. Mr. Durability at Nebraska and even year one in Detroit, played through a shoulder issue that first year. And in his second year, obviously the foot injury, and that strains some people when you're not used to dealing with injury. And Amir's bounced back from that adversity, and he's ready to go. He's ahead of schedule. And, man, I can't wait to see him do his thing with Detroit and his skill set. He was doing really, really well for Detroit, running the football, over five a carry. Obviously, what he can do out of the backfield. He's just one of those guys that you sit back and go, man, he was pretty special to watch at Nebraska.
You know, you got him and Rex both with really good shots of being starting running backs in the NFL.
Yeah.
Both this year, which is pretty awesome. And you know, you could see it when they were here that they had that potential. Rex looks like he's finally going to get his shot. And then Amir, if he can stay healthy, looks, you know, they're pretty much giving him the job. It's like his to lose that he'll be the starter. So that'll be impressive to watch.
Well,
he's
Rex,
always good.
No, he is. And you can picture how well he'll fit his skill set with what New England wants to do to defenses, whether you love New England or not. One of your guys there now for the Patriots, and it was a good pickup, and he'll get a chance to shine, which is great because kind of a congestion there at Cincinnati the first part of his career. Coming up 10 minutes away, we will catch up with Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine, also the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. We'll dive into Nebraska's big get, Mario Goodrich with Vogue's next segment. We'll get Vogue's thoughts on just the week that was in Nebraska. Some amazing writing by Vogel, as per the usual, with his hot reads on Hail Varsity. So we'll get caught up with Vogue's on that. Gary Sharp, get his thoughts on Stanley Morgan Jr. And for sure, get his take on Husker baseball as they had a tough one last night against Maryland late into the evening and into the early morning. Hour two coming up. Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Back shortly, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning. And coming up, Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse. In a moment, we will play Guess What Type of Muffin TJ Henning Has. Nothing? Wow. I just ended that contest. Brandon Vogel is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Seems like maybe yesterday's news scared TJ off of his typical muffin, Saturday morning muffin diet.
See,
he's going to get busted. Yeah.
I mean, he did roll in with one of those, you know, party-sized bags of Funyuns, though.
You know, by the way, you know what's awesome on HailVarsity.com right now?
What?
So lead story, Stanley Morgan Jr. arrested on drug charges, right? Directly below that, three half-baked Big Ten takes. Like, total coincidence, I'm sure. But that's great.
Vogues, well played. I got to ask you, we haven't...
Was that intentional?
No.
That kid.
It was not.
Okay.
Well, it works out. Now, I got to ask you here for your reaction to the Morgan and Reed news. You got a pretty good pulse, Vogues, on the state of college football on a macro sense, and then also the program led by Coach Riley. What's your reaction to this?
I don't have much of one. This news has sort of served on yet another referendum, I guess, on how people feel about marijuana laws in this country. But look, you have to punish those guys. They broke the law. If it's the worst thing they ever do in their lives, it's the worst thing anybody does in their lives, that's probably not too bad. That's where I stand on it. You know, two veteran guys, I guess, two guys that are probably going to be counted on for leadership roles. They just made a mistake. I really don't think it's that big of a deal. That said, some sort of punishment will have to come down, and they'll be willing to deal with that.
You know, it's one of those things too, Brandon. We were talking. You don't have the same visceral reaction you would have to say, you know, Stanley Morgan beat a guy up and put him in the hospital or something, or got busted with a DUI. I'm okay with whatever punishment or non-punishment he gets. Are you sort of in the same camp where it's like, if he doesn't miss a game, are you outraged?
No, I'm definitely not. And you know, that's, it's always hard to tell, but I get the sense that most people wouldn't be outraged by that. Just kind of where we are as a country, you know, marijuana is legal in various states. So it's just this sort of strange gray area right now. You wish it wouldn't happen? Sure. But it did. And I think things are going to be just fine, though.
Vogues, want to get your thoughts on Mario Goodrich, another commit. Nebraska, composite-wise, looks like they're between 6 and 7. When you look at all the rankings, and I know, Kranak, you loved his film. I was
one
wild.
Of my favorite recruits in years.
Yeah, I was wowed by what I saw. What do you think Nebraska got with a player and an athlete like Mario Goodrich?
Well, they got another super athletic long corner, and that's not an accident. You know, this is where Mike Riley wants to be. He mentioned how important and how difficult they are to land DBs on signing day 2017, and now they're going out and doing it. And you know, it's kind of impressive. A, that you knew that was your focus going into this class. B, you probably made an assistant coach hire based almost exclusively on that in Dante Williams. And both of those moves so far seem to have worked really, really well. So from a sort of planning and strategy point of view for recruiting, Nebraska's checking a lot of boxes right now. You know, we've heard comparisons to Monty Harrison, a guy Husker fans sadly never got to see play, but whose high school film was also in this sort of outstanding category. And when you think about it in terms of how you go about building a defense, a dominant secondary is probably my second choice if you're just thinking about it pie in the sky theoretically. Dominant defensive line, I think, is most football coaches' pick. Like, if you're going to be good at one spot, get the best players you can get on the defensive line. That's tough because everybody wants them. So if you can't do that, the second place to be is probably in the secondary. And Nebraska is looking at a pretty impressive collection of talent and a real interesting position battle in about a year from now.
Yeah, it's you're right, Brandon. It's going to be ridiculous. And I wonder if part of that, too, with you know, having a dominant secondary being number two on the list is just the versatility it gives you, the overall value that those body types bring to your entire team. Because it's not just Nebraska is not just loading up on guys that could play corner. Those guys can contribute in a lot of different ways.
Absolutely. You know, a defensive tackle is a defensive tackle, particularly in a 3-4 scheme. But you can try a guy at corner, can try him at safety. If he gets to campus, loves the weight room, all of a sudden you might have a linebacker. And those guys are going to play on special teams, too. So they do contribute at a number of spots, give you that versatility. And also, you know, if those defensive linemen are hard to land, which they are, well, think about then sort of the next best way to help both your run and pass defense, and you're looking at probably the secondary. Because if your pass rush is a B, but your cover skills are an A, well, then all of a sudden your pass rush kind of gets bumped up a little bit too.
let's get into that position battle in the future here and kind of break it down with who's here and who's supposed to be here and what you are enticed by.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Nebraska should be – well, they should have two seniors available at safety next year, assuming, you know, it's a long ways away. But so we're assuming everybody's coming back and playing out their full career. You have Williams and Reed. We know that Doman was really pushing for a spot there. Kalu's going to be there this year. So that might change the experience levels there just a little bit. But things get real interesting when you start to open up sort of cornerback and nickelback. Eric Lee made a push in the spring. You know, Lamar Jackson, to a certain degree, you know, has all the talent, has the impressive size and ability, but he kind of needs to have a big year, I think. You know, there were high expectations for him. Kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit as a freshman, but they believed enough in him to essentially move Kalu and try to give him a crack at that. So does he solidify that job, or is 2017 closer to 2016 for him? He's kind of the pivot point potentially for all of this. I think Radley Hiles probably competes right away. Be interesting to see what happens with Blades. Certainly has a high school film to indicate he could earn some playing time. And then you've got guys that were close to not redshirting last year in Boodle and Bradley that, well, they're in the mix too. Markel Dismuke, you know, he kind of, it's almost hard to remember them, but he was one of the gems of that 2016 class. So it's going to be real competitive at cornerback next year, just looking at what Nebraska has coming back and what they don't. Safety, you'll probably be a little bit better off, but that's really probably the ideal scenario when you're looking at breaking in some young cornerbacks.
Would you say this is sort of the hallmark of, I don't know, or maybe the biggest difference with Riley's classes, these past three classes, I guess you would say, is just the sheer amount of athleticism they're bringing in. And I think in particular about like punt returner in a couple of years. When Pearsonell went down, you were left with Jordan Westerkamp, who, God bless him, great player, but he's not a major threat as a punt returner. He just isn't, and that's okay. But now you look at what Nebraska is going to have options-wise for punt returner in particular, and it sort of gives you a window into the level and the amount of athletes that Riley's bringing in.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit of a reflection of what Nebraska's recruiting strengths are currently. Wide receiver has, of course, been a strength since the staff showed up. It looks like defensive backs are going to be a strength going forward as long as Dante Williams is in the fold. So with that, you sort of get those 6'2 super athletes, many of them who probably played both of those positions in high school just because they were too talented not to. And all of those guys are also probably able, and some of them have the experience of contributing in the return game, which is kind of another high-profile way for you to work in some of those younger guys, particularly if you can continue to, I guess, accumulate four stars, for lack of a better term. You know, that's great. It's a little bit tougher to keep all those guys happy and on campus, but that's a really great problem to have, and one Nebraska has had that often in the recent past.
Vogues, want to get your thoughts here about this roster construction, and Sam McEwen wrote about it a little bit earlier in the week, and that is kind of the two areas you need to tackle. You need to be good on the line, like you hit on. Yeah, you pull a defensive coach or a head coach, give me a good defensive line. Well, you need that, and you need a good offensive line to go beat Wisconsin and Iowa. That hasn't happened yet. You've been close against Wisconsin. You go play Ohio State and Michigan, and you look at that Ohio State secondary and just how they eliminated big plays and also really at times eliminated the routine play because they were just that good. And ideally, you get a really good offensive and defensive line, and you have these athletes Nebraska's recruiting for the secondary. Can Nebraska push and put it all together? And if you had a preference, do you go keep getting the athletes and hope that the meat and potatoes side of things comes along, or do you kind of step back now and not go get away from recruiting athletes, but focus on the lines? Because that's a need for sure, to get out of your own division, to get a chance at the Eastern half against the Penn States, against the Ohio States.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, because I think in theory, you probably just looking at the Big Ten and who you're going to have to face 9 out of 12 games a year, you probably wouldn't necessarily say, well, let's really put a focus on the secondary. Because I know it's cliche, but just look at the numbers year after year. It's still a rushing and defense conference. That's what it is. And before Nebraska can start worrying about competing with Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State, you know, it's got to start beating Iowa and Wisconsin with some regularity. So that part of it gives you pause, but the conference might be shifting a little bit. You know, we think of Penn State with their plain helmets and plain uniforms as sort of rough and tumble classic Big Ten ball. But last year they were the most explosive offense in the Big Ten. They did it through the passing game. I mean, Saquon Barkley's really good. You've got Jeff Brohm in the league, PJ Fleck, a passing guy. So Wisconsin is basically a passing team now. They're pretty balanced, but like Nebraska, their success is really determined on how much success they're able to have in the passing game. So it might be changing a little bit there. You know, I think you kind of have to get the most best players you can. And if that ends up being in the secondary, well, it's certainly not a weakness. If you know that, and you know those are the guys you can get, the guys that are more attracted to Nebraska for whatever reason, keep getting them, because you can work with that too. In a perfect world, if I were Nebraska Cornhuskers football coach, I still probably would prefer a little bit. I would prefer the lines to be the strength. But you know, it's tough to tell because like I said, things do seem to be changing a little bit. And if you're really good at either spot, you're probably going to be really good overall.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You wrote in your three half-baked Big Ten takes, and man, couldn't agree more, that it's tough as a columnist because you live in a world of gray. And few topics are ever really black and white. Totally hear you, man. But one of them you went out on a limb for. Your third take was Nebraska will maximize its potential in 2017 with defense. Most people, I think, naturally are gravitating towards quarterback play and Tanner Lee. Why are you saying it is really defense that's sort of the number one factor for Nebraska's success this year?
There are a couple reasons for that. And I do think the offense will look better with increased completion percentage. And I feel comfortable enough assuming Tanner Lee can improve upon where Nebraska's been the past 2 years. That said, I go with defense because, one, I think Bob Diaco's defenses historically have been built to do the one thing you absolutely have to do in today's football, which is limit or prevent the big play. Like, you know, it's just, you go back to some of the toxic differential discussions we had the past 2 years, and that's kind of where that stuff started when I was looking at what Diaco's defenses actually do well. And that's a team defense thing. That's not totally a talent thing, although talent obviously helps a lot. It really starts with how you think about defense, why you do what you do, and how you call it in a play-by-play situation. Second reason is I just think defenses can come together a little more quickly than an offense can. Nebraska's offense isn't changing, but a lot of the parts are changing. So that's the other part of it, too. I think we get three games into the 2017 season. The offense might look a little, not rusty, but maybe shaky, you know, just as you work through sort of those early season issues that every team has. I expect you'll see a few more of those on offense than defense.
Vogues, we'll get you out of here on this. The satellite camp schedule out. Nebraska doing a monster extravaganza through Adidas with A&M and other Adidas schools. You have Texas San Antonio. Get a visit to our favorite Lane Kiffin down at Florida Atlantic, Florida International. Of course, they also hit spots in Missouri and in Georgia with Mercer College. And then a spot in the Redlands out in California. Do you like the Adidas tour that is going on with Nebraska? And do you like these areas? I mean, they hit major hubs of recruiting hotbeds.
Yeah. I think the push from Adidas to sort of bring all their schools together, you know, it's important to remember that this shoe company has a vested interest in its partner programs being good. So there's that. It makes a lot of sense from that perspective. But then you're hitting the top four talent-producing states. You've got Florida, Texas, California, and Georgia. I mean, those are the four year in and year out. You know, if you had unlimited time, you'd probably put one somewhere in the Maryland, Virginia area, and maybe Ohio. But, you know, that's tricky. That's like the heart of Big Ten territory, and Nebraska still hasn't truly cracked that yet. But as far as everything else, you know, they're going where the players are, and they're going where they've had at least a couple of success stories, I think, already from each of those states in the Riley era.
Vogues, what do you got going this weekend?
Well, not baseball now, so we'll wait to Monday to find out where the Huskers are going, if they're going in the NCAA tournament. Continue to knock out some yearbook odds and ends, and that'll kind of be it. Kind of be a take it easy weekend for the most part.
Well, great work as always this week with the hot reads, and can't wait to see your work on the yearbook. And thanks for giving us a few minutes this morning, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care. There he is, Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Nebraska eliminated last night by Maryland 8-5. The bats went cold, and we'll hit on some baseball next with the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp will join us on Hale Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Working through a Saturday, it's Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Well, let's start with baseball. A tough one against Maryland, a tough one against Iowa. Nebraska now will wait for Monday. And Sharpie, a theory on maybe where Nebraska ends up, and most importantly here, you know, what'd you think of Nebraska in the Big Ten tournament this year?
Well, let's start with where they end up. They're in the NCAA tournament. You know, they had a nice RPI coming in. Going 1-2 isn't going to knock them out of the tournament. But I think they went from being in strong consideration for a 2 to probably sliding into a 3. And with a 3, maybe you get sent to Corvallis or Fort Worth or some of these regionals where the top seed is one of the top seeds in all of college baseball. So Nebraska is in when they announce it at 11 a.m. They'll be in and they'll get to go somewhere. And, you know, you'll have to, you know, wipe what happened yesterday out right away. You know, yesterday simply came down to Nebraska couldn't get the hit when they needed. You know, they the second game last night, they squeezed as much as they could out of guys to try and get them to today, and it just didn't work out. You know, I think the frustrating thing came in the Iowa game where Nebraska just couldn't get that hit against a left-hander who has been really good against them twice. But you think about it, guys, this is 3 straight years Nebraska's gone to the Big Ten tournament. And over the course, they're 1-6, and Jake Myers has never started a game in the Big Ten tournament for you. So that's kind of the frustrating thing. But now you think, man, does Jake Myers start the first game in the NCAA tournament? Because essentially you'd be looking at 2 weeks with him not pitching.
So it's strange last couple of days, too, where it's, what is it, 22 runners left on in 2 games? And this is coming off of, like, what, 36 runs the 2 games before? Is this cause for concern or just sort of a blip?
Well, I think yesterday in the Iowa game and a little bit in the Maryland game, kind of has been there all year against good pitching, mm-hmm. where Nebraska's going to have to scratch and claw to get 3 to 4 runs. But when they go up against some poor pitching, they just hammer it like they did against Penn State and against Purdue and a little bit last night against Maryland. So I don't think the three games in Bloomington changed anything about Nebraska. They are who they are, and it's going to have to start on the mound. You know, you look at, if I would have told you before the Iowa game that you'd get that kind of performance out of Derek Burkhamper, you'd said, yep, we're playing on Saturday to go to the championship game. So, you know, the side of this, if you look at it, yeah, it's disappointing. Nebraska lost twice yesterday to be eliminated. But as taxed as that bullpen is, and maybe not so taxed on the number of pitches or innings, but just you don't have a lot of bodies down there, it might be okay to take a week off where you don't have to play today, another game today, and then another game tomorrow. So in that case, you probably look at it and go, okay, we can handle being on the way back to Lincoln today. Now we just got to get things, anything's fixed, anybody healthy, and get them going for next week in the NCAA tournament.
Gary Sharp with us, a few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, the news came out yesterday about the incident in May with Stanley Morgan Jr., Antonio Reed, and you had a great pulse on Nebraska athletics, specifically football. How do you see this? Put your Mike Riley hat on here and weigh what's out there and weigh with what's, you know, kids are like today. Not all kids, but I'm just kind of asking here, how do you handle this as the head coach?
Well, I think you first of all, you've known about it, mm-hmm. Or you at least hope that these two players had said, Coach, we messed up. This is what happened. This is everything. We apologize. So you hope that that didn't catch him off guard yesterday, which I don't think did. I don't want to make this come across as it's kids being kids, but in a sense, it's really a non-story. It's a story because it's Stanley Morgan and Antonio Reed, mm-hmm. and I think Nebraska will deal with this internally. I think they will use it as just a reminder to players that marijuana is illegal in most of the states you're going to be in, including the one where you go to school. I think they will use it that way. But in terms of, I mean, I heard reckless speculation yesterday, and I give you credit, Schmitty, because I heard what you said and then your interview with Vince, and kudos to you, because all you had to do with everybody had access once this broke to the police report, all you had to do was read through it to see that it went from a felony to a misdemeanor. And it's just reckless, whether it be sports talk, radio, or TV stations, sending out tweets and stories that it was a felony and not changing their story, that just blew me away. Yeah. I mean, that's just reckless. I couldn't believe it. I was listening to talk radio yesterday. I mean, people were speculating, well, what if he's suspended for most of the season? Well, how about you go and you look at the police report to realize that it went from a felony to a misdemeanor before you ever say anything? So kudos to you. It's a slow time of the year. You know, you haven't had a ton of off-the-field issues. This happened. It happened with a guy that is going to be one of the top players. I say it's a non-story. Nebraska handles it internally, and they move on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things, too, where Volusia County, where he was arrested. I mean, they're not even enforcing their own law. You know what I mean? Like, supposedly 20 plus grams is technically a felony, but they're like, no, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think, hey, he made a mistake. That's pretty clear. What I know of him, you would think this is a nice learning lesson. This won't happen again. He won't embarrass, first of all, the program or his family or himself. And, you know, now everybody can, you know, move on.
How about you've been following recruiting forever, Gary. We like to pretend we're excellent talent evaluators. I think we're okay.
That guy's fast, Mario, Krainak.
Mario Goodrich. He's one of my favorite recruits on film in years. I mean, I put him up there, and now it didn't work out, but I put him up there with, like, the Leon Jacksons. What's your take on Mario Goodrich out of the Kansas City area?
You know what? And people have listened to you for a long time, Mark, and that's one thing that you have a great eye for watching film and being able to project a high school kid. I know you've covered a lot of high school football, and I'm with you. The thing I really like is that he is physical enough that he can come up and play a guy in the run, or he appears to have quick twitch on his hips where he can turn and he can run with a wide receiver. And he just kind of fits the bill. And correct me if I'm off base here, Mark. He fits the bill of, I think, where Nebraska is going with their model, and I have said this, is where they're at with their program right now, where they don't really have a lot of time to sit around and develop guys. They need to get some quote-unquote ready-made guys and then, you know, get them in the program, and then you can start talking about getting developed guys. But I think they're following the model of Ohio State in the case of, hey, let's load up on defensive backs that are big, that are physical, that have lots of speed, and look at how that's benefited Ohio State. They become DBU when it comes to sending guys to the league, and some of the best defensive backs over the last 5 years in the Big Ten have been right from Ohio State. And I look at the way Nebraska is recruiting and the type of defensive backs that are recruiting, I think they're following right in line. Now, I think the next step with defensive back recruiting before Nebraska shuts down the 2018 class is you got to go get a safety now. It'd be nice to add a safety to this class. But he's a really good player and in a good area where I think Nebraska football, volleyball, men's basketball, baseball should have a presence every single day, and that is in Kansas City.
You know, Sharpie, you mentioned about Mario coming up against the run and just the ability to diagnose and then just the athleticism to take over. That model of getting secondary players that obviously can cover wideouts and athletes and prevent the big play, but also coming up and being physical and good in space guys, that's what you dream about. But to go get guys like that, and I'm not trying to heap too much pressure on the kid, but I mean, based on what you've seen at a high level of high school, I mean, you're getting a guy that can go out there and tackle.
Yeah, and that's another key thing. I think, you know, when you have Dante Williams is looking at kids that are going to play in his position group, you know, that's the kind of eye that he has for. And that's where, if you look at the current team, Chris Jones, from his cornerback position, can do that. He can come up and be physical on the run. He can turn and run with a majority of the wide receivers in the Big Ten. That's on the other side where Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. this year, that's where he's lacking. He's got to be more physical. He's got to be able to come up and play the run. I think he can turn and run with wide receivers. But the thing that's lacking is, can he go up and play the run? Now, you look at Elijah Blades, if you know, you watch enough of him on film, he'll do that. He'll be able to come up and get guys in the run and also be able to turn and run with wide receivers. So I like where they're going with defensive backs. I think, you know, it's amazing that Dante Williams is recruiting like this. I mean, he is selling himself and playing for himself. The guy's playing for him and, you know, a place that he really likes in Lincoln. And he has never gone through a full season here, and he's never coached in a game on a normal game day in Lincoln, but yet he's able to sell himself and convince these kids who you could, you know, one, definitely you could build a brand around in Buki to come to Nebraska and play football. That's pretty amazing. That's a tribute to him.
Yeah, you said it about Lamar Jackson, and look, he's going into his true sophomore year, so there's plenty of time, and he's got the potential. But you're right, man. You wonder if he just has the aggressiveness in him. It's not a physical thing. He's huge. He should easily be able to really clock people. But he just doesn't seem like he wants to, right? Isn't that the thing?
Well, I think the adjustment to college football has been a little bit slower than we could have all anticipated. You know, we thought he would come in right away and adapt. And I think, you know, I think he's learning. He's still learning, but he's that guy that you recruit and you say, man, he's got to be good for you right away because he's your first video guy. I think the adjustment to the college game and how physical it is and locking down on his job, you know, in high school he could kind of play wherever he wanted because he was so good. Well, they don't need him to play everywhere he wants at Nebraska. They need him to play cornerback. And so he's got to grow in the game of football and the knowledge. But I think most importantly, he's got to grow in it's okay to stick your head and your helmet in somewhere and hit somebody and be physical and have a presence and be more you dictate things than reacting to guys making a big catch and then you have to tackle them. You know, it's okay for you to make the first move. And I think they worked with him on the spring. But he's the guy that, you know, they penciled him in pencil, to be the quarterback opposite Chris Jones. But we remember Eric Lee had a fantastic spring, and then you've got Elijah Blades, who will be here in the fall, who I don't think they have intentions of Elijah Blades sitting out the year as a redshirt.
Sharpie, I want to end it with this kind of off-the-wall question, but I saw that the ESPN has hired Chip Kelly as an analyst. What do you think of that, or do you give a damn?
I think when he's been interviewed and away from football, like not representing Oregon or representing the Eagles or representing the Niners, he's been pretty good. There were a couple of years ago where they had him as on the desk as an analyst before one of the national championship games, and I thought he was really, really good. But the thing that those former coaches do is they're good if they're willing to go there. You know, they're still close enough to the business and they still want to get back into the business that they're a little bit lenient to say anything critical or give you some truth. So if Chip Kelly, you know, is okay about giving truth and his true opinions without, you know, upsetting anyone, then I think he'll be okay. I'm wondering, what's up with Les Miles? Is Les Miles doesn't want to do TV for a year and is going to bounce around and check out other programs? Or is he just going to hang out in Lincoln, you know, maybe as a consultant while he watches his son in his first year?
I think you nailed it. I think Les is a guy that really still wants to coach, and he was picky, very picky, about some of the offers he likely had and the openings. I mean, the guy, look at the guy. He came from LSU. He made LSU an IT program. I know Saban was there, but he took it and brought greater success. And he's also worked his way up from an assistant at Colorado and then kind of setting the stage for Okie State's recent success. I mean, he deserves to go to a big-time program or maybe spend time in that consultant role. I think you're 1,000% right with that. I mean, having him around here, if that's what Nebraska wants and what he wants, there are a lot worse ideas.
I think he's if he's willing, I think Nebraska, you know, having him around would be okay to, you know, help out a little bit here and there. I mean, why not? Guy has won himself a national championship at LSU.
Well, he's as good of an offensive line mind as you have. I mean, he's incredible. Sharpie, you have a great rest of your weekend, bud. Thanks for a few minutes today.
All right, guys. 14 Saturdays away, and then this time next week, everybody will be back on campus, and summer conditioning will be about ready to start.
Well, we're getting our gym shoes ready, Kranek. All right. There we go.
Thanks, Sharp, guys.
See you, bud. Take care. There he is, Gary Sharp with us, the Iron Horse, Hail Varsity Radio. I like the consultant idea.
Oh, it's good. And, you know, I was looking ahead, by the way, because why not? You look at Cameron Jurgens, who will be on campus in 2018, kid out of Beatrice. And he's just a horse, right? It's just the way he's sort of like a Mick Stoltenberg, where it's just he's a rare specimen, right, just in terms of how he's built. And then you look at having Ben Miles in the backfield. Like, in a couple of years, you have a couple of guys in Cam and in Ben Miles that, you know, God willing, they stay healthy, all of that. But you have some real tone setters in that H-back / tight end / fullback position. Guys that will go in motion. Guys that aren't afraid to block. That could be something really interesting. For as much as Nebraska is talking about, you know, going to more of a passing game, and of course they're going to do that, those two in particular bring a physical element. Or they project to bring a physical element that could really be something special on that offensive side of the ball.
No, that is, I mean, just the mismatch and then the physicality. Good luck trying to match up, right? Yeah.
Look, Jurgens is probably going to be, you know, 255, 260, and, you know, 4% body fat, right?
Dare we throw out the Gronk and Mike Allstott comparisons?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you got some really physical dudes that like to hit. You're going to have them both. It's going to take them a little bit to see the field, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Miles sees the field even this year. If you look at what Nebraska has going at tight end and has going at fullback, it's a lot of unproven guys, a ton. I mean, Tyler Hopps is number one, and he was, you know, he was fourth string last year and didn't even see the field. So he's got a shot to even contribute this year.
We'll wind down to Saturday next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week.
What?!
Well, that was quick. Saturday edition almost done. And if you missed any part of us this morning or past episodes this week of Hail Varsity Radio, we invite you to log on hailvarsity.com. The podcast is very friendly and user-friendly. The ESPN 1480 app, also a chance to access past episodes. And subscribe to us for free for you on iTunes. Kranak, I will be over tomorrow, and I think I'm a New York strip guy instead of a T-bone. So get your grill fired up, and I will come crash your place.
Costco's got, they've got, I think it's like 12 grass-fed New York strips for about $1.50 right now. Have you done the grass-fed versus the corn-fed?
I'm a corn-fed all the way.
Tastes flavor-wise.
It's much better flavor, and it tastes better.
And the texture's better.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, grass-fed's interesting, too, though.
Hey, you're making me the steak. I'm not going to complain. You pick out what you want.
That's true. I'm thinking about going pellet grill, man. I don't have one yet. I've been sticking with charcoal grill for years. Years. That's what I got as a Weber.
Well,
but when you go to cook steaks on it, it's such a roll of the dice, man. You can't control the temperature. Mm-hmm. You're trying to follow a recipe to a T. You overcook the hell out of the thing.
Listen, I have a pit boss. Uh-huh. Mr. Babcock has a pellet grill as well. I forget the brand he has. And, I mean, they and TJ can vouch for this. He's had my ribs. Uh-huh. And you know what kind of an idiot I am. I mean, I screw up a lot of things, coffee cups included. But this pellet grill is phenomenal. An idiot.
You just have to do it. Huh?
Yeah. Well, come over. I mean, when I get a house, I mean, yeah, I'm apartment barred now, so there's no grill or pellet smoker that I can use. I'm very sad about that, but I will be inviting myself over to various different places to freeload. Since
smart
I can't.
It's a smart idea in general.
Yeah, here's what's going to happen, okay? Oregon will probably be a night game, okay? Assuming we
think
don't.
So?
Well, I hope. Assuming we don't take the show on the road, ha. You are cordially invited to Casa de Schmidt. We'll get the wood pellet grill.
Oh, I'm going to the game.
Well,
I got tickets already.
Okay.
Going.
You need someone else to go with you, or is that spoken for?
You can come along. My brother's going. He's flying in from
That's
Atlanta.
That's an afterthought. No, just you and your brother. Fine.
No, we're not dating.
No.
Come on.
Listen. Your track record of road games, do we need to highlight Blacksburg?
I mean, it was good.
No, it wasn't. Nebraska got beat.
Well, it was... Yeah, but I was also a Cal in 99.
Well,
that worked out.
Yeah, that wasn't a good...
K-State 95, that worked out.
Okay. You were at the Orange Bowl in 95, weren't you?
Yeah. All three of the national title games. All four of the national title games.
I received.
Including the Florida State loss.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I think you're okay then. I think you might be good luck.
Big 12 championship in Dallas, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Big 12 championship in St. Louis, 96. That didn't work out.
Yeah, we can.
At Washington, 97. That did.
You've kind of been everywhere.
What's the best thing? Like, that's the best thing about, that's one of the best things about.
You were in Missouri during that typhoon.
Oh, the rain? Yeah, the downpour. But also there when Brad Smith lit Nebraska up for, what, 248?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, but you were there to see Sue almost... You know, remove Gabbard's ankle.
That was still one of the best games I ever saw. And the reason, because everything was, it was so rainy. It rained for like 72 hours straight or something like that. They had no, like, there was no, like, hardly any electricity in the stadium. So you could, I mean, all you could hear is the ref's whistles. No announcer, no nothing. It was just straight up, it was like a high school type game, but it was college, and it was Sue murdering Gabbard. So that was good.
Granek, have a great weekend, brother. Thank you.
You too, sir.
All right. Thanks, TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. Back at you next time with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Enjoy your weekend.